good to see a lot of new faces today, a lot of visitors. If you're visiting this morning, I want to let you know something that our regular members have probably already observed. I'm not Dion. I'm not the regular preacher. You can tell the difference between me. And Dion's a little taller than I am, and his hair's not quite as gray. So otherwise, I forgive the mistake. But I will try to be today what Dion often isn't. Well, that's brief. I knew I'd get at least one applause today. A lot of you know that I enjoy movies, and I will quote from movies and make different points. I promised my kids that I wouldn't have a movie quote, and I can assure you there's not a movie quote in these notes. And so, yeah, who would have thought Bill Johnson would give a sermon without a movie quote? Probably no one. The scripture that we're not really going to study it, but it's going to kind of form the context for us, is from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Hey, you know, we here on Sunday mornings, we're in the middle of a series. We're in the middle of a series about mission, being a church of mission. You know, we are a church with a mission statement. And we're studying what it means to be a missional church. You know, by the way, Kim and I came here, I don't know, 16 years ago. We didn't participate in putting this mission state together, but boy, I wish we had. There's just a lot of tremendous Bible truth in there, and we're glad that that's our mission statement. You know, our mission is to be imitators of Christ, glorifying God, you know, inside these walls and outside these walls. Our vision, it's a little different than our mission. Our vision is people. It has been people. It's going to remain people. And we worked hard to be the kind of people that God desires. We work hard to learn what God wants when it comes to family. We work hard to learn what the Bible has to say about relationships and dealing with conflict within our family. Sometimes the costs have been high. Sometimes it's been painful. But most of the people here today are here because this is their family. And that's what God wants. Family, you know, family is a place of safety, place of security, of comfort and relief. Family is—it's where we are known, yeah, warts and all, and we still belong. Family is where we grow up, where we are rewarded for doing well, where we are rebuked for doing wrong. Family is where we learn responsibility and to care for one another. Family is where faith develops, where hope is nourished, and love takes root. When there's a job to do, yeah, family rolls up its sleeves, gets it done. When it's time for family to celebrate, all have a place at the table. No questions asked, no credentials need be shown, no proof of prior service is necessary. In family, each belongs, all are welcome. In family, we gather to rejoice in the beginning of life. And, you know, we as a family, within the past month or so, we've done that. We've welcomed new life with the DeWitts and the Smiths. And, you know, that's occurred in the context of family. And in family, we mourn the passing from this life to the next. And we've seen that. We've seen that with Dean's father and then recently with, yesterday with Gail. And, you know, those arrivals and transitions, they've been occurring in the context of family and community, and that's what God wants. You know, we also know that family can be a place of conflict. Yeah. Where feelings get hurt, where we taste the bitterness of pain and rejection and frustration and, yeah, even betrayal. You know, but it hurts because we're connected. If we weren't connected, if we didn't care about each other, yeah, it really wouldn't hurt. It really wouldn't be betrayal. Sons and daughters can rebel against their parents. We'll need offer no further proof there. Husbands and wives can breach their commitments to one another. Family is where we feel the first sting of jealousy, of unfairness, of favoritism, of rivalry. And yet family is where we learn forgiveness, how to give it, how to seek it, how to receive it. Family is where we experience reconciliation, where trust is rebuilt, where we are given the benefit of the doubt. You know, family is where we learn to say we're sorry when we've done something wrong, and we learn to tell the truth after we've been caught in a lie, where we learn to admit we were wrong. Family is where we discover grace for each other, for ourselves. God calls us to be family. God calls us to know each other, to love each other, to care for one another. God calls us to be present in each other's lives, to work together, to celebrate with each other, to hold each other accountable, and to be fair with each other when we disagree. God calls us to be reconciled with each other, to honor our fathers and our mothers, and to jointly raise our sons and daughters together. God calls us to forgive each other, to trust each other, and to submit humbly to one another. Not because it is easy, not because it avoids pain or is the path of least resistance. He calls us to be family because he is family, and by enduring the cross, he has placed true family within our grasp. Being family causes us to be more like him. You know, I do believe here at Reynoldsburg, we are a family, and the love that we share is both the love of God that God has called us to, and the love that those outside of Christ deeply, deeply desire and hunger for. You know, are we a perfect family? No. Do we have room to improve? Yeah, absolutely. Will there be misunderstandings and hurt feelings in the future? Yeah, there will be. But, you know, they will happen because we are family. And when they do happen, we'll deal with them the way a healthy family deals with hurt feelings. So, yeah, I think we are solidly on the path to true family, and that's a good thing. Can we declare mission accomplished? We've taken real steps. Can we declare mission accomplished? Well, we probably need to check with our mission statement before we say mission accomplished. Our mission is to imitate Christ, glorifying God by uplifting one another. And yeah, I think that when we are family, we're doing that, and we're doing it very well. But our mission statement doesn't stop there. It also talks about serving our neighbor and sharing the hope of eternal life. If we're going to fulfill our mission statement, we need to take what we've learned as a family and what we're doing with the family within these walls, and we need to share that and start applying it outside these walls with people that aren't in this family. That's what serving our neighbor and sharing the hope of eternal life means. And that's why we're in the middle of a series focused on mission. God really seems to be calling this body right now to share what it has learned as a family with those outside this family. God appears to be calling this body to take the love that has grown here and invest it in this community. Our vision hasn't changed. Our vision is still people. What is changing is our concept of people. We continue to focus on the people in this family, and we're adding to that focus people that aren't in this family. The goal is to maintain this family and use its gift to share family with others. Okay, so what does it mean to serve our neighbors and share the hope of eternal life? What will this family have to do differently? What will each individual have to do differently? You know, there are probably lots of things we could talk about here, but I'm going to focus on just three. To fulfill that part of our mission statement that calls on us to serve our neighbors and to share the hope of eternal life, we're going to need to, first of all, show people outside this family that we care about them. Secondly, we will need to know what our gifts as a body are and what our gifts as individuals are. Third, we will need to let go of our to-do lists and accept God's to-be lists. And just in case you were wondering, we cannot back off any of the things that we're doing right now that are strengthening this family. Okay. How can we show people outside of our family that we care about them? I mean, what does that mean? probably means a lot of things. It means we have to learn the needs of our community. It means we have to form relationships with people in our community. It means that we have to fill some of the needs in our community. The bad news is, all this is a lot of work. The good news is, this is the type of work we've actually gotten pretty good at here at Reynoldsburg. There is a word for showing people that you care about them. It's called relationship. Relationship is something that we've really worked on here. It's something that we value here. And what it really means is taking what makes us family and sharing it with others. Yeah, we can do that. You know, in the 1950s and 60s, so I'm told, the Church of Christ was one of the fastest growing Christian fellowships in this country. And outreach in those days, in our heyday, outreach in those days meant door knocking campaigns and bus ministries. Okay, and probably film strips. Why was door knocking and bus ministry effective back then? You know, knocking on someone's door and inviting them to church or showing up with a bus to take them to church back then was a very clear way of communicating, you know, I care about you. You know, our door knocking and bus ministry kind of worked in a society that was transitioning to life in the suburbs. It filled a need. It was probably a hunger for human contact and for community that had been lost in the move to, you know, subdevelopments and tract housing. Can door knocking and bus ministry fill needs today? No, probably not. But make no mistake, this community has needs, and we can communicate we care by filling some of those needs. This may mean starting new ministries here at Reynoldsburg. Now, this may mean expanding existing ministries here at Reynoldsburg. If we are going to share family with those outside of our family, we're going to need to show people that we really care about them. We can do that. Secondly, we need to know what our gifts are as a body and as individuals. In many ways, outreach ministry is matching deficits, their needs, with surpluses, our gifts. Deficits, surplus. We can do that. You know, a few years ago, this body invited Dan Knight to share what he had learned about spiritual gifts. And, you know, we didn't invite Dan Knight in a vacuum. It was for a specific purpose. We empowered ministry leaders in charge of educating our youth to come up with a plan. They said, well, we need to know what our gifts are. And I think it was at Mindy Lisa's suggestion, you know, I know someone who specializes in this. And on that basis, we brought Dan Knight in. Dan Knight has made a study of spiritual gifts. He calls them grace gifts. He presented them. We had gift assessments, grace gift assessments. And when Dan was with us, most of us took grace gifts assessments. The result of these grace gifts assessments show that the most common gift of this body, based on the assessment that most of us took, is showing mercy. The next two most common grace gifts are shepherding and serving. That means the grace gifts that we have in the greatest abundance are showing mercy as well as shepherding and serving. You know what? These are great grace gifts to have in surplus if the goal is to show people outside this family that we care about them. Showing mercy is especially valuable because reaching out to those outside of our family usually means treating people with kindness when it hasn't necessarily been earned. If you've heard that before, there's a good reason. If you've heard that before and you have children in our classes, there's a good reason you've heard that before. That's what they've been learning. Again, what Mindy's been putting together in curriculum. That's what showing mercy is, treating people with kindness when it hasn't been earned. If a community of faith is seeking to build relationships with people of little to no faith, then the ability to show mercy is going to be key. God showing us mercy we didn't earn brought each of us into this family. Our showing mercy to others that we really just don't know will help them in the same way. Treating others fairly or with justice, yeah, that's important, but let's not lead with that. That's certainly not the way God is leading with us. That's not the way he brought us into the family. He brought us into the family through showing mercy. So, if we're going to serve our neighbors and share the hope of eternal life, we need to know what our gifts as a body and as individuals are. You know, we may need to update our grace gifts assessments. We certainly want those in here who haven't taken it to do that. But here's the bottom line here. Our gift is showing mercy. That is a great foundation for the task at hand. All right, finally, or no, I shouldn't say finally, thirdly, we will need, if we're going to serve our neighbors and share the hope of eternal life, we need to let go of our to-do lists and replace them with God's to-be lists. Yeah, this is an idea I'm borrowing from my wife, who heard it listening to a minister on Christian radio. My guess is that, you know, what I've said today and what Dion has been preaching in his series on mission, you know, none of it's very controversial. I get the feeling, you know, few, if any, will object to the idea of serving our neighbors and sharing the hope of eternal life. You know, everyone supports that. The problem for most of us is, you know what, sounds great. Who's got the time for that? And without more, yeah, that's true. For most of us, it's a simple fact of life that our current schedule is full and we're not really getting done what we've got on our current to-do list. Just not happening. Adding to our to-do list is, it's really out of the question. You know, I hear you, and I get that. If we are honest with ourselves, though, we can't really talk about mission without talking about changing how we spend our time. And that's where letting go of our to-do lists and replacing them with God's to-be lists comes in. If we're going to be imitators of Christ, and that's what our mission statement says, if we're going to be imitators of Christ, we need to make sure that our to-do lists reflect first what God has called each of us to be. If the items on my to-do list aren't bringing me closer to what God, to who God wants me to be, that's a problem. Those items need to be removed from my to-do list. If there's an easier way to do this, I'd love to know what it is. I'm not aware of it, though. So I repeat, if the items on my to-do list aren't bringing me closer to who God wants me to be, then those items need to be removed from my to-do list. Who does God want you to be? Does what you are doing bring you closer to that, or does it bring you farther from what God wants to be? Everything on our to-do list needs to first pass through the filter of God's to-be list. You know, that's what we see Jesus doing in his earthly ministry. Jesus focused first on what the Father wanted him to be. And then after that, did he put together his to-do list. If we would be his disciples, and if we would imitate Christ, we need to focus first on what the Father wants us to be, and then put our to-do list together to match that. Now, we've worked hard here at Reynoldsburg to learn what God wants when it comes to family. We've worked hard to learn what the Bible has to say about relationships and dealing with conflict within our family. Now God really seems to be calling us to share what we have as a family with those outside of our family. Doing this will require many things. Again, we got to show people outside our family that we really care about them, unconditionally. Unconditionally means we don't show them we care about them only in the expectation that they eventually will join us. No, we show them we care about them. We need to know what our gifts as a body are. We need to know what our gifts as an individual is. We need to let go of our to-do list and accept God's to-be list. What we have in this body, it's a gift of God. It has come at a tremendous price. And let's not kid ourselves. It's pretty special. It is love. It is Christ's redeeming love. It is family. God has designed each of us to deeply desire the love, acceptance, and relationship that we experience here in his family. It is time for us to be deliberate about taking what we share as a family to those outside of our family. Now, let's each be an imitator of Christ. We're going to sing together, and then Dion will share a blessing with us before we leave. Between that time, if any of you have a need that you would like to share with this family, or if you would like to become a part of God's family and exercise your faith through baptism, this family is ready to serve. Thanks.